Merry Christmas. Hi, everyone. I don't know how you spent your day today, but part of what was on my mind today was just remembering Christmas Eve when I was younger. I hope you had really good memories. You know, I just spent a lot of time today thinking about, you know, Christmas Eve and just the different things that come back into your head. And one of them for me was we would always go to my grandparents' house on mom's side, and they had one of those aluminum Christmas trees that you had the little light thing that, and it was like, I don't even remember the colors anymore, red, orange, green, you know, it was like, you know, just, you just thought that was normal. I didn't know we were really weird until later. And it's like, so, you know, just all those kind. And we had, I don't know when it happened, but at some point they bought us the presents, battling bots. Remember the battle bots or whatever, where you'd, the little tot thing, and then you'd spin it, and then they would bounce into each other. We'd play that for hours. Just really good memories, you know, Christmas Eve. Again, I hope you have really good memories today. We'll make some more ones tonight, more good memories. But I think it's appropriate, you know, as people are preparing to give presents tomorrow, probably, although Sandy's family always gave their, how many of us give Christmas Eve presents on, our Christmas presents on Christmas Eve? Do you? Yeah. Sandy's family always did. Yeah. So some, yeah. But I think, you know, tonight it's appropriate for us to consider the greatest giver who ever lived, and that's Jesus Christ. So listen while I read this verse. I suppose if you have your Bible, you could turn there. It's 2 Corinthians. Again, I'm not a great topical guy. I'd rather just go through the Bible, but we'll just kind of talk this one verse today. It's 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." So that's kind of the word I'm going to focus on a little bit, the fact that we're rich. You know, the average rich person, when they travel, they fly first class. The really rich person charters their own plane when they travel. The super rich person owns their own jet. And then the incredibly rich person owns the airlines. Jesus, he is beyond incredibly rich because he created everything. And he owns everything on this planet. The book of Colossians tells us that all things were made by him and for him. That's an incredible verse. And in Psalm 50, God declares, "For every beast of the field is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and all the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. So everything that ever was or ever will be is God." So the first thing I'd like for you to consider tonight is that Jesus was willing to leave the glory of heaven to come to earth so that we could leave earth and go to heaven. Isn't that remarkable? Now, I hope you're like this, but I love life. I really, really do enjoy living. And but quite honestly, I'm becoming weary of sorrow and pain and sickness. And as a pastor, I see a lot of pain, and I see a lot of suffering, and I see the devastating effects of death, not just physical death, but death of relationships, death of dreams and visions and goals. I see it a lot, and I see a lot of corruption and deception. We all do. We see it in businesses. We see it, unfortunately, in churches. We definitely see it in our government. But only Jesus is perfect among us. And I think you would share your heart with me in saying that we are looking forward to to one of these days when we leave this earthly tent and go to spend eternity with God. I mentioned it on Sunday, if you were here. Jesus' definition of eternal life is found in John 17, verse 3. It says this, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So eternal life is having a relationship with God that lasts forever and ever. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of people ask me something. What do you think heaven's going to be like? And the Bible doesn't speak a lot to it. And I try not to speak into God's silence. It tells us a little bit about heaven. But one thing I know for sure is that in heaven, we will have an ongoing intimate relationship with God. That's enough for me. I don't even have to think about all the other stuff. Just knowing that I'm going to be with him is enough for me. And I'm excited about that. So Jesus left heaven's glory, and he endured a human birth so that we might have a spiritual birth. And you know, the birth process isn't very easy. Doctors say it's not only difficult for the mom who's bearing the child, but it's difficult for the child too, and because the child goes through a state of trauma. In fact, the soft spot on the head allows the skull to collapse as the baby comes through the birth canal. So certainly there's physiological trauma in being born, but Jesus didn't just deal with the physiological challenges of being born. He lowered himself to be like us in all ways. He humbled himself and he became a man so that he might walk where we walk and feel what we feel and ultimately die where we should have died. Now, I feel rich tonight. Again, that's our word. And it's so wonderful to be able to come together and worship the Lord in a place like this. Tonight, we've been 11 years in this building. That's kind of hard to believe. You've been around for a while. 11 years ago tonight was our first service in this building. So it's wonderful to meet like this. And we know that as glorious as times like this are, things are only going to get better. Because we Christians, we're going to heaven. And we're going to be in intimate communion with the Almighty God forever and ever. Due to my faith in the work of Jesus on the cross. Because of that, my sins are washed away. The ones I committed years ago, the ones I'm struggling with presently, and the ones I haven't even thought about yet. All of our sins, the Bible teaches, are forgiven. We're rich because we're forgiven people. And maybe tonight you don't have anything in your pocket except lint. But Christian, you are rich beyond expression. You're richer, really, really richer than those who have millions of dollars and those who have a whole lot of power or a whole lot of fame, because our riches are going to last forever. And we're rich because we live every day with purpose. Our lives are not just given over to something like eating or drinking or the next paycheck or, you know, all the things that this world's caught up in. Our lives aren't given over to that anymore. There's a divine reason for our lives. And we wake up every day, whether we're retired or whether we're just getting into the workplace or whether we're in school, but we wake every day with hopefully some sense of anticipation about what God is going to do in my life today. And we can bounce out of bed. I'm not a morning guy. I don't bounce very much in the morning. But we can bounce out of bed having this sense of God wants to use me today. God wants to show himself to me today. And we have hope. And even after this life ends, we're going to be forever in the presence of God. We are super duper whooper rich, folks. We are. So not only did Jesus leave heaven and to come to earth so that I might leave earth and go to heaven, and not only was he birthed physically so that I can be birthed spiritually, but Jesus had an earthly mother so I might have a heavenly father. He was birthed into a human family where the Bible says he was submitted to his earthly parents in order that I would have a relationship with the Father in heaven. I'm so thankful that I'm a child of God tonight, aren't you? I mean, just to be able to pause for a little bit. Lord, I am so thankful that I am your kid and I am a servant of the most excellent heavenly Father. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." So maybe tonight you're looking at your situation in life and all the things that are going on in your life, and you think, you know what, my earthly parents weren't very excellent. Or maybe you can say, you know, even my spouse isn't really that excellent, and I'm not that excellent of a spouse. Or my family isn't all that it could be, or even what it should be. But tonight I want to encourage you in something. You have a perfect, excellent, loving Heavenly Father. You do. You do. Psalm 84 tells us our Heavenly Father will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So if you love God tonight, you need to know this, that your Heavenly Father will withhold nothing from you that is good for you. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and we're going to do that tonight and tomorrow. We're going to give presents to our kids and our grandkids and each other. So let me start over. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? So this Christmas, we can rest in the truth that God will give every good gift to us. He'll give us things that are helpful, things that are edifying, things that are encouraging. And if there's something that isn't good for me, then he will withhold that from me. I know a man whose son wanted a certain type of tarantula for Christmas. Boys. So the dad decided, okay, I'll go to the pet store. I'll do some groundwork, try to figure out what this tarantula thing's all about, thinking that maybe he would purchase this spider as a Christmas present. So he goes to the store, and the worker says that not only do tarantulas bite, but they also have the ability to jump 20 feet in the air. So they have the ability to jump and land on the person and then bite them. And then when they jump, if they don't land on the person and bite them, this type of tarantula, when it hits the ground, explodes. So after hearing all that, the dad decided, you know, I don't think I'm buying a pet tarantula for my boy. Because it would either bite him or it explode in front of him. And he said, no, that isn't the best present for my son. We need to remember this. That our Heavenly Father knows what's good for us. You might have your eye on an exploding tarantula tonight. Oh, Lord, I really want that job. Oh, Lord, I really want that house. Or I really want that relationship. But the Lord says no, because he knows it will bite and explode on you. And he knows ultimately that they won't be good for you. So in his wisdom, he withholds it from us. But we need to know, as all those things we think about, all those things, and we know they're true, but we need to remember that the Lord desires to lavish good things upon his children. He withholds no good things from you. And he not only desires to lavish us, he does lavish us. Stop for a second and just think about all your blessings today. From the moment you woke up this morning, have heat in your house? Have a warm shower? Have you eaten today? You got presents that you're going to be able to give to your family? I mean, that list is long, isn't it? And if you're anything like me, though, I can tend to dwell on what I don't have, as opposed to what I do have. And God says, Toby, I want you to focus your heart on thanksgiving. I want you to focus your heart on all that I am doing for you because I know what's good for you. I know what's best for you. We are very, very rich because we serve a loving Father who gives us all good things. Amen? All good things. Finally, Jesus allowed himself to be born humble in a stable so that we might spend eternity in a mansion that he has prepared for us. The Bible says that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Think about that for a little bit. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for you. The Lord is preparing a special place for you. And just as an aside, you know, as I get older, more and more of the people that I really love have left this earth and they're with Jesus. And when I get sad, and I do get sad thinking about how much I miss Dennis Gavigan, I do get sad about how much I miss certain people. And I do. It's just the human part of me. I get sad. But I then turn my attitude toward what Dan Greskamp is experiencing today, Billy. A friend of ours just passed. Has it been a week? You know? But what's he experiencing right now? The Lord is preparing a special place for you too. Jesus was born in a lowly stable. So we're going to live forever in a really cool mansion. So imagine with me a man. He goes to the church picnic. But he only has a dry bologna sandwich to bring. So he brings that sandwich. And he goes out into the picnic area and he sits by himself. And he begins to eat his sad excuse for a sandwich. When a grandma and her family come up and sit at the same picnic table with him. And she grabs her picnic basket, and out of the picnic basket, she grabs mouth-watering fried chicken, homemade whole wheat bread, potato salad, a couple huge, juicy apple pies. And as they're ready to pray, to get ready to eat their scrumptious feast, the grandmother leans over to the guy's direction and says, "Why don't we just put yours and ours all together?" See, that's what God does. He takes our poor rags and he gives us his riches. That's the truth. That's the truth. Jesus was rich and yet became poor so that we who are poor might become rich. We have a whole lot to celebrate, don't we? A whole lot to be thankful for. Now maybe, you know, as we come into the Christmas season, you've recognized, you know, I've never really gotten right with God. And tonight, you're finally coming to that place where you're realizing it's time for me to get right with God. Well, all you need is the attitude of your heart that says, Lord, I thank you for becoming poor so that I might become rich. I thank you for dying so that I might live, God. I thank you for being broken so that I might be made whole. I thank you for enduring a human birth, Jesus, so that I could have a spiritual birth. Thank you, Jesus, for coming down to this earth so I can go up into heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me so I can have a relationship with you that will last forever. I accept the free gift of eternal life. God makes it easy for us. You don't need to know the Pythagorean theorem. You just need to have faith in your heart that says, you know, I confess, I'm a sinner, and my sin has marred me And that sin is keeping me from relationship with Almighty God. And Jesus died to take the punishment for my rebellion. I accept. And when you pray and you receive Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says that you are now a part of His family. And now you receive all the incredible riches that the Bible speaks of. And they're like page after page after page after page of incredible riches that God has promised to give to us. So tonight, we're running to the manger, just like the shepherds did out in the fields that day. And when we get to that manger, we see the Lamb of God, the light of the world. And Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God calls on His children to shine forth as lights into the darkness of this world. Actually, we're to shine forth as luminaries. You know what a luminary is, right? Monica, do they still have the luminary in your area of Irvington? They're really cool, aren't they? They're like for blocks, isn't it? All lined up. You know, they put the candles in the sack, and it's really cool. But you know what a luminary is? It's something that reflects light. The paper bags have no light in and of themselves. They just shine forth the lights that's within them. That's what we're to do as Christian people. The light of Jesus that's within us shines forth for all the world to see. You know, I don't go to the store very often. Thankfully, Sandy's willing to endure all that so I don't have to. But when I'm there, I get sometimes more and more as I get older, really impatient. You know, I was stuck in behind a train today, and I got really impatient. I was sitting in the line, and I find myself getting more impatient. So you're in the store, and you're standing in line, and you're becoming really impatient, and some people express their impatience and all that. You know, that's the norm in our world. When you're not that way, when you choose not to complain, when you're at work and things aren't going very well and everybody is complaining, just being real snarky about the boss, all those kind of things. When you choose to not enter into all that, you shine as a light into this world. To stand in that line and be pleasant and kind and even cheerful, to be at work and show those attributes, it's such a contrast that people around you are going to be amazed. And without even opening your mouth, without preaching a sermon at all, without passing out a tract at all, you're going to stand out as a light in a very dark place. Make no mistake, your little light makes a difference in this world. Now, you might be thinking just the opposite of that. You might think, you know, things around you are so dark. Things in your family are so dark. Things at your workplace or school are so dark. They're so twisted. They're so perverse that your life isn't making any difference at all. The light inside of you that's from Christ isn't making any difference at all. But it is. You know, during World War II in England, they'd have these total blackouts in the major cities so that the Nazis couldn't tell where to bomb. And these blackouts were so complete, no one was allowed to light a match, to light a cigarette or a pipe. And you might well think, well, that's kind of stupid. How much light can a match put out? But on a dark night, you can see the light of a match 11 miles away. One match. So the light that's shining from you, Christ's light shining from you, is making a difference in this dark world. You just need to keep letting it shine. And I don't know what songs we're going to sing, but hopefully we're going to sing that one, right? Let it shine, let it shine. And I recognize that some of us, we're functioning in very dark places. But that's where God has you. He's put a light inside of you, so you can shine forth in that perverse, twisted, dark place. He's calling us to shine forth as luminaries so that all the world will see the goodness of Almighty God. Now, again, I'm getting older, so I'm starting to think more and more about how many more days do I have on this planet and all that. And I'm thinking more and more of, you know, as I look back at my life, what are the things that I'm going to think about that it's like, I want to be about those things now, you know? When I get to the end of my life, if I got the brain cells to be able to put it all together, I want to be able to think back to, you know, I made a difference in the world for this, 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 and this. Not just because I maybe had a nice house or I drove a nice car or whatever all that is. Those are the things that they're not going to matter to me when I'm laying on my deathbed. But did I make a difference in people's lives? And that's the privilege that we have today. This week is to shine forth into a dark world. And I always think of, remember in the book of Esther, it says, for such a time as this. Remember the whole story of Esther? For such a time as this, God had placed Esther in the world. And for such a time as this, here we are. Here we are. Living in the family you're living in. Having the job. Going to that school. So your little light can shine forth the goodness of God. Okay?